Hi, welcome back to the Plumline podcast. If you've been with us since the beginning of summer, you'll know that we're now 3 weeks into our summer series on the doctrines that made me. We've decided to slow down a little bit over the summer and bring you something a little bit more meditative. The name for this series is The Doctrines That Made Me. Each week, we'll ask a trusted friend and in some cases, former guest to tell us about a Christian teaching that has had a profound impact on their life and faith. We hope instead of rolling your eyes at the word doctrine, you'll be inspired by what you hear, and these teachings will become the doctrines that make you too.
We're joined this evening by Ian Williamson, who is one of our favourite podcasters and surely the holder of the best laugh in the FIEC. Ian is one of the directors of Medhurst Ministries, which is building a network of churches who are committed to church planting in the forgotten places of the north of England. He's also pastor of New Life Church in his hometown of Middlesbrough, where he lives with his wife, Rachel, and their two daughters. And he somehow finds time to put out the In Context podcast, all about Christian life and mission in hard places. So welcome, Ian, on this balmy, warm evening. Great to see you.
Hello, Kat and Kat. Good to be with you again.
What are you going to be talking to us about?
Well, it's something that I was hoping was going to happen already, so I didn't have to do this podcast, and that's Jesus' return. I was thinking I won't prepare anything because he's bound to come back before Thursday, and then he'll get me out of doing any work.
Compliment if ever there was one.
Yeah, I don't want him to come back on my birthday or something like that, do you know what I mean? It's
just to get you out of something inconvenient.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I think the reason why it means so much to me is it keeps me in check a little bit, and I'm the type of person who needs keeping in check. And I think I had a bit of a rude awakening a couple of years ago. We were pastoring a woman who recently had been saved, and then she'd been an alcoholic, and the alcohol poisoning had wrecked her body. So just a few short months after she was saved, she passed away. And I spent the final 4 weeks with her in hospital, pastoring her through her final few days. And it was sad because I was sat with her and she asked me to do a funeral. And I'm used to people asking me to baptise them, but I've never been asked by the person who was about to die to do the funeral. And it was a tough couple of weeks. The whole church was with her. It was a blessing to be with her. We laughed, we joked, we prayed, and we spent time with Jesus. And after that period, I really questioned my faith, because I was telling her so much about heaven and that soon she'd be in glory and she had nothing to fear. Then after she passed away, it was like a big thud. And I thought, do I really believe? Is there a heaven? Where is my faith? And it got me thinking that I've always thought that one day I'm going to meet Jesus when I die. But the reality is, for all of us, Jesus could be coming back at any time. And were we ready? And at that point, I didn't feel ready to meet with Jesus because my faith was all over the place. And ironically, or providentially, as some reformed people might like to say, I was asked to do a talk for 20 schemes on Jesus's coming back. And it was a tonic to help me deal with some of these things that I was going through. I think COVID has been a nightmare for all of us for so many different reasons. I had a few family issues going on, and I wrote a sermon about Jesus coming back from 2 Peter chapter 3. And that sermon, I had to preach it to myself. And it was such a tonic to me that it was just like providential that God had given me that talk to talk about, because it's exactly what I needed, and just on so many levels. So do you want me to just to ramble on and tell you why, or if you've got questions? Or
Please get to it,
I think it can help us on so many levels, because the first level is I'm a sinful man, and it keeps me in check because I don't want to be caught literally with my pants down. And I think so many of us can just be plodding on with life, just thinking we will meet Jesus when we die. But the reality is he could come back at any time. And when he comes back, I'm hoping that I'm preaching the gospel or evangelizing someone, not kicking off or shouting or screaming or caught in habitual sin. So I think this is one of the reasons why Peter writes this letter, is because the church at that time were dismissing the fact that Jesus is going to return. People were mocking the fact, saying that the laws of nature means it's impossible for Jesus to return. And people had become a bit complacent within the church and were doubting it. So that is one of the reasons. Another reason is that when we're suffering and when we're struggling, we know that our suffering is temporary because Jesus will return. And whatever we're going through is short term. And whether we have a blessed life, when Jesus does return, that blessing that we've had will be eclipsed by the blessing we'll have spending glory with him. Whether we have a suffering within our life, whether we're struggling, that suffering will be forgotten when Jesus returns within an instant. Like that childbirth, the Bible explains about our faith being like childbirth, because there's that uncomfortable bit, there's that pain and struggle. But as soon as the baby's born, then the pain's over. And when you hold that baby in your arms, that pain is forgotten. And again, for many of us, we need to remember that Jesus is coming back, because it reminds us that our suffering is short term and his joy and peace and mercy is eternal. Yeah, so these are just a couple of the reasons why I think we need to be reminded that Jesus is coming back. And in particular, not just think that we're going to see him when we die, but be praying that we see him when he returns. Because my prayer is that I don't want to see any more suffering. I don't want to endure any more suffering. I want to see Jesus return in my lifetime. Because often what I live for isn't Jesus. What I live for is the temporary things. But we're called to live for the eternal things, aren't we? To focus our attention upon heaven. And often I think all of us as Christians are just so consumed with temporary things. And I think... Sorry.
No. I was gonna say that I think we often really easily forget that Jesus himself, like, is the gift, isn't he? We were talking around yesterday about heaven. One of the children started asking stuff about heaven, and to do with, like, would we have clothes and things like that. So that led on to a quite an interesting conversation. But heaven, it quickly became within the discussion of, you know, this place where we're all going to have all the stuff that we like. And my husband helpfully reminded them, but the main thing that will be amazing about heaven is that we'll have Jesus there. We'll be with God. And so even whether there's like flowing chocolate fountains or whatever it is that you're looking forward to, or football, you know, even those things they're just the side attractions, aren't they, to actually being with the Lord himself.
Yeah, and for me, my favourite psalm, the psalm that has got me through my struggles and my doubts, but also my unfaithfulness, is Psalm 73, where Asaph is reminded that who do I have in heaven but you? That heaven is even rubbish without Jesus. Without Jesus, heaven is pointless. And the whole point of life, death, and the resurrection is to be with our Saviour Jesus, isn't he? And so often we comfort ourselves with heaven as somewhere where we go when we die, or somewhere where we will meet loved ones who are already there. Yet the reality is, it's not about us. It's not about our loved ones. It's about worshipping Jesus for eternity. And that's been my biggest struggle. And I think all of our struggles is Jesus can often be seen as an insurance policy. So when things happen and we die and we've got to face death that we like to pretend is never going to happen, he's there. But Jesus isn't about what happens when we die. Jesus is about what happens as much on earth as it is in heaven. And I think this is why the doctrine of his return, or the second advent, or whatever you want to call it, is so important, because it keeps us in check spiritually. It reminds us that we need to live a godly life and to be living for Jesus. It encourages us when we're suffering, because it reminds us that this suffering is temporary, that these blessings are temporary, that what we have for eternity is awesome and unparalleled and unmatched. But what it also should do is frighten us, because there's loved ones of ours who are rejecting Jesus and they need to hear the gospel and they need to repent, because when he comes back, he doesn't just come back for his church. He comes back to judge sinners, and he will come back. I can't. And when we see these pictures of wars and destructions and we think, how could we live amongst that? We want to have that same fear for our loved ones who are going to face his judgment, because he's coming back as a warrior. He came as a child and died as a saviour, and he's coming back as a judge. He's going to rescue some people and he's going to condemn others. And I think we need to be aware of that as well and think time's running out. Not just our time to share the gospel with people. Often we think, oh, someone's got cancer, we need to share the gospel with them before they die. They might not have enough time to die of cancer. Jesus could be back tomorrow before they're even ill. So we need to have an urgency about sharing the gospel as well. So it shouldn't just bring us hope. It shouldn't just keep us right. It should also inspire us to share the gospel and share that hope that we have of being in eternity with our Saviour. No, I'm just so aware. My wife tells me that, shut up and let other people speak. So I'm practicing that.
No, it's fine. This is deliberately meant to be more of a, like a more of a sort of a monologue for somebody to listen to. Because I think it's a richer thing. Kat, have you got anything to chip in at this point?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, just before we finish, your heart has always been for church in hard places, and I suppose I'm just wondering whether you've got a quick reflection on what does the hope of the doctrine of the second coming mean for people who live, work, plant churches, and just are the people that make up these hard places?
It's essential, and I think a lot of people will come to see people like me in the community that I come from and that I'm reaching, and they're very frightened to point out the reality of their sin, of their fate. I think people think that the biggest problem is lack of food or lack of opportunity or lack of housing or finance or whatever, and the biggest problem is hell. People are going to go to hell, and as much as we are called to help people in their temporary suffering, that's an outworking of being a believer, is to look after the orphan and the widows, the oppressed, but that's a byproduct of our faith, not the priority of our faith. The priority of our faith is to make disciples of disciples. And the only thing that makes sense of this world, this awful world, is the gospel. And without the return of Jesus, the gospel doesn't even make sense. If Jesus isn't returning, then what's the point of the gospel? If he's not coming to judge those that have abused, the people that we're working with, for those children who've suffered abuse and neglect, if there's going to be no consequence for that, then what is the point? If there's not going to be an end to the suffering that people are facing, then what is the point? If there's no forgiveness for the sin for these people, then what's the point? Do you know what I'm saying? So everything about poverty only makes sense with the return of Jesus, where Jesus is saying, look, the life that you are living doesn't make sense. The sin that you are looking for fulfillment in, which is dragging you down into deeper poverty, into deeper depression, and to deeper abuse, only makes sense if I return and make things right. The suffering that you've gone through can only make sense if you see the love and the healing that I give and the judgment that I will pronounce upon my return. You see, it encourages us to fight sin. It encourages us to persevere through suffering, and it helps us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Saviour, a Saviour who didn't abandon us and offer us peace when we die, but a Saviour who is preparing a place for us in his mansion and will once they return for us as well. So many people have been abandoned from our communities, and it's nice to know that Jesus won't abandon us, that he will return for us, for everyone who has bowed the knee for him. So yeah, the return of Jesus makes sense of everything. Without it just removes the need for a gospel.
If we only look at it in terms of, you know, it's easy if your life is very comfortable, it's easy to forget how necessary it is, even for Christians, because you're fixed on the next goal or aspiration in this life, or getting to your nice retirement or your nice pension fund, or downsizing to a cottage in the country. I don't know what people's sort of earthly dreams and goals are, but if those things aren't even on the table for you, then I wonder if you're even more likely to cling to the reality of Jesus' return. Whereas if you've actually got a lot of things at your disposal in this life, and every reason to expect a nice, healthy old age, insofar as any of us can, which, as we've said, it can change in the blink of an eye, and we all know that even more after this year. I think it can really get in the way of us looking. It can get in the way of us looking forward to heaven, because it can be hard for us to think, well, I mean, what could be better than this little kingdom that I've built for myself? And yeah, I think we do need to really take a caution that it's not simply about my comfort going from my heaven on earth to the real heaven, but yeah, the judgment and the justice for all the sin and the pain. And as soon as we're in a situation of pain and difficulty and hardship of any kind, we just crave that and cry out for it, don't we? However much you've got in the bank.
It reminds me, I used to manage a pub, and I used to call last orders the same time every night, 5 to 11. I'd ring the bell, and at 11 o'clock, that was last orders. The pumps were off, the tills were shut down, there was no way you were getting another drink. And every night I did this, and every night the majority of customers, as soon as the bell was rang, they'd be up, they'd buy 2 or 3 pints and sit back down. But every night there was always one or two numpties who thought that they could come up at 1 minute past 11, some even quarter past 11, and ask for another beer. And the thing is, when the bell is gone, the bell is gone. And that's the same with Jesus. When he returns, it's too late. That is it. Everything is finished. So those, everything that we've worked for that isn't the gospel is just destroyed, is burnt up. It's going to be cataclysmic. So what are we actually building? Because the only things that will survive the fire are things that we've built for the kingdom. So it also reminds us not to waste time. How much of time have we wasted building pointless things that might see us through our retirement, or see our grandchildren into uni, but once they've gone, it's gone. Yet we can sow into the lives of our communities, of our friends and our families, and have something that is eternal. And I think knowing that this world is temporary reminds us that there's also an eternity, and that's what we need, because so often we're just consumed in the pub. People will be so consumed on a fruit machine or chatting up some woman or playing dominoes that they'd miss last orders. And I don't want that for me. I don't want that for my children or for my family. We need to have an urgency that Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, everything that we've built that has got nothing to do with his kingdom will be gone. And I want to leave a legacy behind. The legacy from my first period of life without Jesus, I want to forget. Do you know what I mean? But I'd love to leave something that would be remembered. I looked at Andy Prime. He's a pastor in Greystone in Edinburgh. He had a photograph online once, and it was his grandfather, it was his father, it was himself and his son. I don't have that. I want to leave a legacy. I want to build a kingdom legacy that goes on to the next generation. That's what I want to build, things that will last. And knowing that Jesus will return spurs me on to do that. Because if I knew that he was coming back in 13 billion years, there's less of an urgency. And I think that's why we're not told. Because how relaxed are we now when we know he could return at any moment? But we had a definitive date. We just put our feet up, wouldn't we, in the hot tub? Yeah. So again, I think we need to have an urgency and an excitement that Jesus is returning, and that whatever isn't being built for kingdom purposes is pointless. And that just reminds us of that.
Love it. Thanks, Ian. That is a great, well, whistle stop, Middlesbrough tour of eschatology. Love it. Well, we can't let you go, though, by giving us a plum crumble for summer, something that you're looking forward to. Just before we came on air, Ian was telling us all about how he's got a hot tub and that's where he conducts most of his church meetings at the moment. So it could be the hot tub. What else are you looking forward to?
Yeah, me and Mes McConnell planting Church in High Places strategy in our speedos and wearing his beanie and his speedo.
But the beanie never comes off.
And you see us in the summer wine. I'm looking forward to a bit of normality, church, singing in church, having people around. We had a few visitors around this week. I'd like just to get a little bit of normality. That would be awesome, that, wouldn't it? Some boring conferences that I've avoided for a long time. Even going to one of them just to meet up with some human beings would be good. I don't know. Do you know of any boring conferences that are happening at some point?
We only know of really great, exciting ones. Sorry.
I couldn't possibly comment. Kat might know more about that than I would.
I heard somebody talking about one earlier, but I can't remember what it was called. It was...
No, let's not worry too much about it. Oh, Ian, it's been a treat as ever. Thanks so much for coming on. Plenty for us to think about and to spur us on and to remind us of what we've got coming in all respects. So thank you so much for coming back on.
Well, thanks very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We really hope that you've enjoyed hearing about eschatology, which is the big word for the doctrine of Jesus' return. And maybe you've learned something new about our great God. And if you have, do let us know in the comments on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter. And why not share this episode with a friend? We'll be here with another Doctrine for You next week. Goodbye.
Bye.